Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Well, I'm so glad that you could join me today for a show that is possibly a little bit off of what our typical topic is. So we're not going to be talking about estate planning today. Rather, there have been some very concerning and some very poignant issues that have been taking place in society today. And they are a mix between COVID-19, the governor locking down the state for several months, and how that has influenced churches. And there is a political environment around that. And then just recently, we've had riots in our streets over the past weekend. And so I want to take a moment and I want to bring to the table some discussions from a biblical perspective of what should our response be as believers when we look at today's events in these different realms, and how are we supposed to respond as individually and maybe even collectively as the body of Christ. And I have in studio with me today Pastor Verlin Fossner. He is a pastor of over 30 years. He is also the founder of Community Dinners here locally. And so I want his voice in the discussion as well concerning these very hot topics and very relevant topics. So, Verlin, thank you for joining me today on the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thanks for the invite.
So give us just a very brief background of who you are and some of your journey as a pastor and how that has parlayed into Community Dinners.
Right. My wife and I have been pastoring what was at that point Westminster Community Church here in Seattle, but we've been here for the last 20 years. About five, six years in, the church started to go into an interesting decline, and I immediately realized I need to spend some time researching what is actually happening, because what is declining is not for typical reasons. So I started some extra grad work and actually ended up completing a doctorate on the area of urban sociology and how theology can begin to breathe in life into that if we change our way of functioning. So that became literally an innovation, or shall I say an intervention, that became grabbing a hold of the old historic form of church, the sociology of church called the community dinners, dinner church or the agape feast, and bringing that forward. And what happened in our story was very profound and very transformative for us. In fact, we started to become a multi-site dinner church throughout the city, and find ourselves now as a church through the city, not a church on a corner or a church in a location.
Right.
And so that then turned into more of a national opportunity. And at this point, we actually are opening up dinner churches across the country previous to COVID at the rate of about one a day, because there's a lot of people and a lot of places that have been very frustrated about the tractionlessness of their church and their interest to reach the community and capable of doing it. And so that is just a quick synopsis.
And so with community dinners, I would expect that I could come to a place where you're having a dinner and actually really see just that, which is a dinner taking place and allowing people to come in and have fellowship and food and everything kind of surrounded around the ideology of let's eat together and fellowship together.
Right. And these are based off of the agape feast. So they're not small. They're not in homes. They're in community spaces. And yes, coming, and Jesus really made a significant directive to his disciples at the Last Supper that basically he positioned a new Passover for them, where you're gathering people who are in some ways ungatherable almost, and you're eating together and talking about me. Remember me. Jesus said, whenever you do this, remember me, talk about me. Right. And so it's based on dinner churches are all based on that, shall we say, Christ-centered outline.
And so we have food and we have people gathering. And so obviously there has been a rather major shift in the past couple months as society has been hit with what has been deemed as a pandemic. How has that shifted or how has that changed how you go about conducting a dinner environment where indeed we're supposed to sit next to each other, we're supposed to hang out, and we're supposed to fellowship. So, so the average church has been pretty much unilaterally shut down, the doors locked type of idea. So how has community dinners been influenced over the past months?
Yeah, in our early conversations with Health and Human Services, it was very clear that we were not in the non-essential category. The 13 neighborhoods that we serve, there's a significant amount of lift that we are bringing to that neighborhood. So they told us, you don't shut down, change the way that you're operating. So we actually moved out to the sidewalks in front of all 13 of our dinner church sites. And we serve on the sidewalk. It's hot meals and prayer for people out on the sidewalks. Unfortunately, our worship and preaching element has had to take a little hiatus, but everything else has been there, and all of our leaders and all of our teams and all of that have been supporting people on the sidewalks. So that's the way that we have actually pivoted. And as we start to go back indoors, we actually have all of the CDC recommended distancing and protocols that we're going to be putting back in place in the way we do the inside. So we're ready to do that as soon as the world can shift.
Very good. And so, would you say that over the past several months that you have seen very similar traction in the people who have been coming? Have you seen an increase of people who have been coming? Because I see food lines and other kind of social helping ministries or organizations all of a sudden have a massive increase because there are more people hurting financially than ever before. So what have you seen in this type of community dinner scenario and setting?
Yeah, so we have clearly, I mean, dinner churches are very, very effective with isolated populations at all different sectors of the socio grid, if you will. People that have high degrees of isolation naturally look at a table and go, wow, could that be my family? So the people that come, they really are a congregation. They're not just a bunch of randoms that are coming in for a dinner. That has become their family. So they have continued to come on the sidewalks in same numbers. We have seen a number of brand new ones, though, showing up that are honestly there out of need for good hot food. And so that has definitely increased. One of our sites up on Capitol Hill actually has had almost a doubling of the numbers of people that have gone up to, you know, almost 150, 175 people beyond that has started to show up there. And so that, that there has been some of that. And yes, we are very well aware that we are in for a long track as a nation. I mean, 45% homelessness, the expectation is a 45% increase in homelessness as a result of all of the shutdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thousands, tens of thousands that will be so deeply impacted by the suicides and the overdoses as a result of this.
That's right.
And so, I mean, we find ourselves in a place of a very critical timing and a very critical location, recognizing that the healing of Christ and a Jesus table is going to be desperately needed, even in larger portion than it was 3 months ago.
Yeah, and I love that because that's really what the church is called to, is to be that healing oil that influences society. We are to be the power and the manifestation of Jesus Christ and His kingdom to this earth. His will be done on earth. And for so much of what church is about in a traditional sense is let's have good worship and let's have good preaching and then go back out there and do something about it. And what I love about the basis and the foundation of what you are really pushing forward and have been the impetus for is that you are actually being the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ in the community, in a place where others have really begun to walk away from, which is the churches in Seattle, in proper, are beginning to shut down at an unprecedented rate, leaving people without a voice, without the ability to understand who Christ is and that He is our ultimate, absolute, perfect solution to every answer we need in life, whether it's our healing, whether it's our finances, whether it's our peace of heart, our peace of mind. And what other solution does society have when the things you've talked about, suicide rates, whether it is hunger, whether it's joblessness, whether it is depression, and the list can go on and on, broken homes and the chaos that has ensued from the governor's lockdown and stay-at-home orders is actually potentially, in my opinion, this is going to be a little bit of a bigger political statement, my apology, but could actually be worse than what the actual initial influence of what we were facing as a society. So, I don't disagree with the steps that we've taken in initially locking things down or understanding as society what was before us and what the challenge was as far as COVID-19. But I'm concerned that with a unilateral stroke of the pen on an order that we have seen potential other effects that were not considered instead of just the one before us. And so I want to talk a little bit more about this. Where does the state of the church, how should we as believers and as a community of believers be responding in light of these things that maybe no one else is talking about, which is an uptick in discord in society. We're seeing it this weekend. We just saw it this past weekend. And so as we come back from break, I want to talk about it. We're talking about some different things other than estate planning today on the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm glad to have Verlin Fosner in as my special guest. And we will be right back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show after this message. Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And with me is special guest Verlin Fosner from Community Dinners. And we kind of went into break with a little bit of a discussion of, yes, there has been an order that has locked us down as society and unfortunately has locked down and for all intents and purposes shut down the church, other than those churches who have been able to spin and use things as far as live streaming or be on the on webinars or have sufficient financial backing to open up larger tents or find spaces that could be outdoors and abide by the governor's orders. And I want to take a look first as we head back in Romans chapter 13, which many individuals and many Christians, I think, are even discussing as a part of where we're at in society, which is Paul was talking to the Romans and he said, "Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Mm-hmm. Therefore, resist resist the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnations. For rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Will you not be afraid of power? To that that do good, and you shall have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to you to do good. But if you do evil, then be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, the revenger of execution upon wrath for them that do evil. And so I've looked at these different scriptures, and of course, 1 Timothy talks about the same thing, and so does Peter. And I want to take a moment and break this down a bit, which is that we're supposed to be, as Christians, subject to higher powers. And verse 2 of that, Romans 13 says, if you do not, then you will encounter damnation. Now, first of all, this is not damnation from God. This is that every rule of law has a consequence if you break it. So if I speed through a school zone and I am pulled over by a cop, I am receiving the damnation of that ticket. I am receiving the reward of me speeding through and not obeying what man's law has set up. And so Romans is not talking about damnation from God. It is talking about that there is a consequence for breaking man's laws. And if you break man's laws, then you will be subject to them. And Paul continues this mandate that it is for evil doers. So in other words, Paul is very clear that the law of man is to restrict evil. It is not to restrict righteousness. As a matter of fact, Paul went on to say that governors, lawmakers, the government are ministers of God. And that word minister means that it is an individual that is ordained, but rather it is an individual who is a servant of righteousness. That term at its core means that we are to encourage people to pursue righteous behavior and allow good to move forward. So really, laws on a biblical basis have two primary functions. Number one, any law that is a minister of God and is founded in right standing with God is to promote righteousness. It is to allow righteousness to be proliferated into society and for good to move forward. And then number two, it is to restrict and restrain evildoers. And so any time that we have a law that misses one of these two primary principles, principle one, to allow good to be proliferated into society, and number two, to restrain evil. If any law does not promote one of those two biblical premises, then it is a law that is not of God, in my opinion. So therefore, if we have currently a law that is imposed upon us that is stopping the gospel from moving forward, because there is a law that is actually discriminatory against churches. It is discriminatory because it locks down gatherings on a certain magnitude, and it does not allow a church to operate and do the good that it is supposed to do in society. As a matter of fact, what I find is that even the riots that we have been encountering over the past weekend are not a result of an unfortunate incident between an officer and a black man. And that could be an impetus, or it could be the starting point of it. But really what I think we are seeing in society is the pushback of people's freedom being abridged. People being frustrated with being under the rule of law that we were not created to be under, because that rule of law has stopped the voice of righteousness and what has been designed for good. In other words, specifically the church. You know, my premise as an attorney, as I look through both scripture and the law simultaneously, it has been left up to one man to determine whether or not a pastor has the intelligence, sophistication, and ability to follow what is good in the marketplace. But yet, a store owner is deemed to be essential, and people walking into a store, more than 50. As a matter of fact, I went to Costco over the weekend. There are far more than 50 people in that building, and they are walking much closer than 6 feet apart. And yes, they have masks, and they are touching the same product, and they are touching the same things, but yet because one man has determined that that is essential and can operate in its full business capacity, but yet churches are not essential, then churches must be locked down. And my perception, both biblically and from a legal perspective as an attorney, is that these are unrighteous laws, and actually they are against sound policy that that actually push against our constitutional First Amendment rights. It is the First Amendment because it is the paramount amendment, which is that everything, every other amendment that follows after the first, is hinged upon the First Amendment. Our freedom to all the freedoms that we have, whether it is the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom to pursue happiness, the freedom to work, every one of these freedoms has been challenged and put on hold over the past couple months. And it is my gravest concern as the body of Christ that we will not stand up and take a stand for righteousness when we see an unrighteous law beginning to influence society on a very large scale. And so so those are some of my thoughts as far as where are we right now in society? Where are we as far as a one man, the governor, creating laws that do not align biblically with what a biblical premise, because the biblical premise for a law is that it must produce righteousness and it must restrain evil. And if either of those are out of balance, then I believe that the law must be stood up to. Now, I am not suggesting that we start in mass order hitting the streets. That is not the appropriate response. But there are ways that we can voice an opinion. There are ways that we can collectively and as a body begin to express that this is not proper and that we are the voice of righteousness. Now, in COVID-19, churches have been shut down again for the most part. So I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Verlin here for just a moment. How have you seen in your dinner church, as COVID-19 has been a part of this, is there any type of discord that you have seen people begin to feel the longer that this has gone on? Or what has your experience been as you have been really in the mix of touching the public at large? Because that's who you're ministering to. Multiple groups, multiple races, multiple ethnicities and backgrounds and socioeconomic backgrounds. What has been your experience here over the past couple months?
Yeah, I believe all of our pastors and core teams are reporting back that there is a growing fever, if you will, as a result of this virus, in which there is an extra level of entrapment that people are experiencing. The sequestration has lived on in some very difficult ways. But getting back to the traditional church, I think it's every group finds themselves in that place of working with the brackish between theology and being citizens in this republic.
Yes,
and it's not the easiest thing in the world to work.
It is absolutely not.
And but if you were to like take a look at perhaps the underground church in China, they have realized, well, we've still been called to be a church, to be open, to be representing Christ, and yet we cannot do it freely under this government. Only in spots and in kind of like almost photo op locations can that even occur. And so yet there has been a decision that they've had to make that we are going to function irregardless. Here in our country, we've expected our people, we've expected this government to always give us the lane.
That's right.
We've never had to like, how do we defend the lane, or how do we stand up and say, hey, there's something encroaching on us here. And
this is absolutely new territory for the church right now.
It's new territory for us. We're not used to – we almost feel unchristian to stand up and have a problem with this. And
absolutely.
I think that's an important point for us to really stop and consider.
And we need to have a response always based upon what does the Word of God say? What is the paramount? Well, the paramount is that faith works by love. Everything. Jesus came in truth and in love. And so we must have a response that always emulates and always projects the love of Jesus Christ in everything that we do. And so that's why my cry is not to start heading out into the public and start doing our own rioting. That is not the solution. That is not a loving response. And I am not saying that I have the answer for this time, because it is a complicated, but I wanted to take a moment because I agree with Vernon, which is the church has not been faced with this in America, maybe in its history. Yeah. And so therefore, this is going to become a regular part of what we face, which is an erosion of our First Amendment rights, an erosion of freedom of speech, an erosion of our freedom to gather and worship in a way that God has called us to. And I hope that you, my encouragement then to every Christian is that we are in God's Word. We are seeking after what would the Holy Spirit, who will drive us to revelation, who will drive us to responses that are founded upon grace and mercy and love, and have a response that reflects His glory for His good name's sake. That is what we should be about. And we need to find God's solutions in God's Word, in God's ways, and not as the world does it. And so will you join me? Will you join me to pray for the church? Because this is going to be an attack like none other, and it is going to get worse. And will you join me in strengthening yourself in God's Word and in His truth so that together and collectively we may have a response that is founded upon the very foundation of who Jesus Christ is, and that is the foundation of love Himself. So thank you so much for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show today. You can find out more information about what we do at legacyandfaith.com. Be blessed, be healthy, be safe. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.